We want to thank our sponsor, Great Western Bank, a proud supporter of the Wildcast podcast. At Great Western Bank, they focus on serving family-owned businesses and their overall financial needs. Whether your company needs increased working capital, equipment or SBA financing, purchasing or renovating a building or construction financing, Great Western Bank has the expertise to work through your specific financial needs. Visit the Great Western Bank branch on Campbell between Glen and Fort Lowell or call 520-325-1135 to talk to any of the business bankers about your specific needs. Member FDIC.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. Justin Spears here with Michael Lev and Alec White. We are at the McHale Media Center. Is that the official name that we gave it a few weeks ago?
Yeah. So you're home away from home, Justin. Weren't you just here?
Not even 12 hours ago, or a little over 12 hours ago, for Arizona basketball. And here we are again. And it's going to get crazy this week because you got a couple U of A basketball games. You got Arizona football. I know they're on the road, and high school football playoffs as well. And this is the crazy time of year for us at the Arizona Daily Star.
This is the life you've chosen. It could be worse, right?
It could be worse.
It's fun.
It is fun.
We just gotta grind through, buy some extra coffee.
Yeah,
you know, just 5 hour energy, whatever you know, use your cup of tea. And power through.
You know, I didn't become a coffee drinker until I became a journalist. This is facts.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
It was always Monster Energy drinks, 5 hour energies, like you said. And then once in school, when you get to, you know, working as a journalist, coffee is just like a part of your daily diet. But we're here talking about Arizona football. It feels weird. It feels like it's been forever since we've seen an Arizona football game, and it's only been a couple of weeks. They just came off the bye week. Arizona right now, 4-5 on the season. They have three games remaining on their schedule. They got Oregon this week up in Eugene, which is going to be a tough one. Then you got Utah at home, and then you wrap up the season against ASU. I'm going to ask you guys this. Now that Arizona's 4-5, and they have to win these two out of the next three games in order to become bowl eligible, what is just your overall assessment of this team at this point in the season? Because I expected Arizona to be bowl eligible right now. When you look back at the Colorado game, when they started off the season 4-1, they were sitting atop of the Pac-12 South. You thought, oh man, Kevin Sumlin and his staff really have things turned around, and it's been quite a different story ever since then.
I would say that it's very disappointing, first of all. I don't think the expectations going into the season were sky high, but I would say they were at least kind of on medium. And I thought this team could go 7-5. You know, everything was kind of new last year. You know, Khalil Tate was banged up during the season. You know, and they still were, you know, one blown fourth quarter away from being 6-6. They easily could have won that UCLA game, which would have made them 7-5. So I figured, you know, everyone's kind of more used to each other. Everyone's a year older. They, you know, brought in this great running backs coach on paper, sort of lost an offensive line coach, but it looked like on paper that would pretty much be the same. Factoring in all of those things, I thought the team would be better this season. And trying to figure out why that hasn't happened, I mean, that's a long discussion, probably longer than a podcast. But the one thing I will say is that some of the guys who we thought were going to be like the dudes this year haven't really been the dudes. And we can start with Khalil Tate, who, I mean, you know, I documented it last week, the statistical drop-off for him as far as like the touchdown-to-interception ratio. 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions last season, 12 touchdowns and 8 interceptions this year. He's also fumbled a couple times, so that's 10 turnovers. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't even played full games a lot of the time. On defense, guys like J.B. Brown and Scotty Young and Jalen Harris and even Colin Schooler haven't really performed up to the levels that they played last year. If you could just get the same level of play out of some of those guys, you know, maybe it's a different story. And it's also been this kind of roller coaster feel to everything. Like, a few weeks ago, we were talking about how well the defense was playing and how poorly the offense was playing, and now it's completely the other way around. There's uncertainty on the coaching staff. So overall, I would say that it's disappointing, and you just don't get that the sense that the program has taken a step forward that you thought it might. What do you think, Alex?
Oh, it's a major disappointment for sure. And today, Kevin Sumlin, he was asked a question about, you know, where's assess the team, and he sort of he tried to do some damage control and say, well, if you look outside of, you know, Oregon and Utah, everybody else is, you know, 4-5, 5-4. USC and Washington are 6-4. But the key with all these other teams that are 4-5, 5-4, they have at least an upward trajectory as a program. Right now, Arizona's in limbo. You don't know whose defensive coaching staff's going to be for next year. You're losing, you know, Khalil Tate's going to be gone next year. Obviously, a lot of excitement with Grant Gunnell and his future as a Wildcat quarterback. But it doesn't – there's no – you can't be excited about Arizona's trajectory with Grant Gunnell when the defense is in a state of limbo right now. There's just
Limbo. It's like disarray. I was having this conversation with our colleague Ryan Finley on the drive over here today, and we were talking about, like, what is the identity of Arizona football? You know, and it feels like there hasn't really been one for 20 years, you know, and we can't keep living in the past and living off of the desert swarm or whatever, saying this is what it was, this is what it should be. You need to pick something and kind of stick to that. I mean, are you going to be a team that relies on defense and special teams? Are you going to be, you know, a team that plays an up-tempo offense? I just feel like that's kind of been the case since the Rich Rod days, but you know, I think there's a limited ceiling to that because that's what everybody else does. You know, can you do what everyone else does at Arizona and be a successful program, or do you have to kind of zig when everyone else is zagging? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
You know, Alec, going back to your point about the trajectory of other programs, the only one I could really, in terms of the Pac-12 South, the only one I could make a statement and say, well, we don't really know the future of that program, and that's USC. Just because they hired Mike Bone, the new athletic director, and in typical USC fashion, everyone's chirping in, oh, who's going to be the next head coach? You know, Clay Helton, oh, he's only got 6 wins. You know, USC should be better. But at the same time, USC's winning football games. You know, they just went on the road and they beat ASU. They're bowl eligible right now.
They'll probably be 8-4 at the end of the year.
Yeah, and you know, if it weren't for Utah having a stellar season, I mean, we could be looking at USC competing for the Pac-12 South. But I don't know the identity of this year's Arizona team. And living in the past, I think you bring up a good point, Mike. That was when Arizona – that was the golden era of U of A football, when Dick Tomey was coaching. And you had the Desert Swarm defense, even the 1998 team. That wasn't the Desert Swarm era, but – you know, you still had talented players, and Arizona had a true identity. And they utilized two quarterbacks that year.
They did.
And they were winning football games. I don't know Arizona's identity. I wouldn't go back as far as 20 years, though, because you look at 10 years ago when that 2009 team, when they had Nick Foles as a first-year starter. You know, Mike Stoops got fired, but the man brought in some talent.
He did.
You know, he brought in Rob Gronkowski. You look at the defensive line. Alec, you wrote this story last week. Earl Mitchell retiring from the NFL. You know, he was a converted halfback into a defensive lineman, was a standout at Arizona. And their defense played fast. I remember I was actually watching this a couple weeks ago, that 2009 College Game Day when they came down and for Arizona, Oregon. Mm-hmm. One thing that they always talked about Arizona, it wasn't about Nick Foles. It was about how fast their defense played. Their secondary was phenomenal. They had, you know, guys like Devin Ross, Cam Nelson, and they had a fast defensive line with Brooks Reed, Ricky Elmore, and Earl Mitchell. They had an identity then. Since then, I don't really know about Arizona's identity.
So you mentioned Mike Stoops, and probably the biggest difference between Mike Stoops and Rich Rodriguez is the number of NFL players that each one of them produced.
It's huge.
Rich Rod had a really good record here. I mean, he went to a bowl game in 5 of 6 seasons. And they won the Pac-12 South that 1 year, but did not bring in or produce NFL talent. I think that's what we all thought was going to happen with Kevin Sumlin, that he was going to kind of recruit at least at a Mike Stoops level. He's going to go back into Texas. They were going to bring in some NFL guys. It remains to be seen, obviously, if that's going to happen. I mean, a lot of the guys who you project as NFL players maybe are really young, like a Donovan Lai or a Christian Roland Wallace, guys who at least look the part. But that's what needs to happen. You know, I mean, I talked about at the beginning, like the guys we thought were going to be the dudes haven't been the dudes. They need to bring in some guys who can be dudes. You know, every day that we do the press conference, we walk by that little room next to the elevator where there's the NFL scouts are sitting in there looking at film and stuff. I mean, I'm sure there were a lot of scouts at the basketball game last night, but I haven't I haven't felt like a lot of scouting buzz around Arizona football since I've been here. And they need to bring in some guys like that. And I don't know if that's going the junior college route. Or I don't know if that's, you know, the type of guys like Jordan Morgan, who Kevin Sumlin was talking about today, who, you know, they identify a young talent here in the state and then, you know, put him on a good trajectory, to use your word earlier, to develop into something. But, you know, they need more guys on defense who play with, especially on defense, who play with a ferocity, who play fast, who are really willing to get after people.
I know it all starts at the top with the head coach, but Mike Stoops actually had solid assistant coaches. Mark Stoops was his defensive coordinator. Sonny Dykes was his OC. And all these guys ended up becoming collegiate head coaches.
The coaching tree.
You know, and they were able to get out on the recruiting trail. And I'm not trying to throw Arizona's assistants under the bus here, but you know, you fire two defensive coaches. I mean, that's a hole right there in recruiting. You know, that's a lot of slack that Kevin Sumlin and others have to pick up. I'm kicking myself for not asking Kevin Sumlin this, but is Chuck Cecil recruiting? He's the interim DC. I know they had a bye week, but is he out there on the road recruiting?
Right.
Go ahead.
Didn't they tweet the UVA football Twitter account? They tweeted out like where each coach was heading during the bye week. I saw you retweet that, Michael. I didn't see Chuck Cecil on that. I might have just missed it.
No, I didn't see it either. I don't think he went out on the road.
Okay.
So yeah. It felt like, you know, one of his themes today was, you know, and he was like, this is not coach speak, but we're trying to win this week. You know, it's always kind of those, they're on those parallel tracks when you're a coach. You're always kind of planning for the future, but you're also trying to win right now. And Hank Hobson even went out. On the road, it looks like. Is that, what state is that, guys?
Montana?
That Montana.
Is that Alabama?
What are they teaching you at this school, Alec? No. That's either Alabama or Mississippi.
Yeah.
Montana. Montana.
You, Arizona.
Take a look at that U.S. map after this show is over. This one was a little confusing. I think that's the state of Washington there for DeMarco Murray.
There we go.
They tweeted
Texas.
Just about all of them. You know what California looks like. Nice. All right.
It's right next to Arizona.
But yeah, I don't think so. I think they wanted him to stay here and try to fix this problem.
It's a big concern because you look at the recruiting class. How many? They got two cornerbacks. They got Kyrie Crump Jr., Alphonse Oiwak, and Deion Wilson at defensive end. Other than that, all offensive players and one kicker.
I feel like if defense is the
worst part about this team, and you're not out there recruiting and getting guys to come over, I mean, how bad is this defense going to be for the next couple of years? I don't know.
I think if you look at a lot of the recent offers, a lot of junior college kids, you know, I feel like they may have, you know, taken a look at things and recognized, you know what, this is worse than we thought, and we need to bring in some people who can compete immediately for positions.
Yeah.
And I think, what, they have 13 commits, and you want to probably get into the low to mid-20s. I feel like almost the entirety of the rest of the class needs to be defense.
So let's transition before we look back on this past weekend of Pac-12 football. Kevin Sumlin talked about this, and I think this was the main thing that everyone wants to discuss. What's going on with the quarterbacks?
Yep.
Khalil Tate, Grant Gunnell. On the depth chart, it still has Khalil Tate as a starter, but Kevin Sumlin left open the option that whoever performs the best this week in practice will in fact start for the Wildcats against Oregon. My question is to you guys, are you going to, you know, still give Khalil Tate the chance because he's a senior and, you know, he's been the starting quarterback for the last couple of years, or do you roll the dice on a true freshman and probably the most hostile Pac-12 environment?
That's a good point with the hostile environment. Oregon at night game, probably one of the toughest environments in football at night. But if Kevin Sumlin's serious about saying that we're trying to win this week, we've seen the ceiling this year in terms of Arizona's offense with Khalil Tate. It's not – I don't think we're going to see any drastic improvement in what he's able to bring.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. I don't know why I automatically thought of Michael Jordan when you said the ceiling. The ceiling is the roof. Let's make it happen. All right, continue.
But we're at a point where we've seen – I think we've seen enough of what Khalil Tate's going to do as an offensive quarterback with Arizona. He's gonna have his moments where he makes some really good plays, gets out of the pocket. But with Grant Gunnell, we're still really seeing what he can do. And if you're trying to find out what really is Grant Gunnell all about, put him in this primetime game against Oregon, top 10 team in the country, a team that's battling. See what he's made of.
He's already played, obviously, so you can't really use the analogy of throwing him into the deep end, but it's about as close as you're going to get to throwing somebody into the deep end this particular assignment. I feel like based on what Kevin Sumlin said today that, like, there's no more, like, politics involved in this. There's no more resume. There's no more, you know, I'm going to be loyal to the guy who's been here. It's we've reached the sort of meritocracy stage of the game where it's just like, okay, you both have had a chance to play. We got 2 weeks of practice. Whoever, let the best man win. That's who's going to start. The interesting thing to me is that he seemed to imply that the rotation would continue, though. Even if it's Grant Gunnell who starts the game, Khalil Tate will come in for a couple series and then continue in the second half. I don't know if that's the best or the winning formula, but they're still searching for something on that side of the ball. And I was saying on the way over here that I feel like if you're going to compete in that game, that you have to play kind of a ball control style of offense, which that sort of, I mean, me, that I lean in the Grant Gunnell direction, if that's the case. Because, there have been, unfortunately, far too many three and outs when Khalil's been the quarterback. He will give you the spectacular play at times, but, I think you want to take the crowd out of the game. Don't you?
Yeah.
You want to protect the football, don't you?
Absolutely.
And Grant has been better at that this year.
And this is a perfect game for Arizona if they're going to play their A game. I know Cal lost the game, but wasn't Cal playing with a backup quarterback? And weren't they competing with Oregon?
Yeah, I think it was 17-7. Yeah, I mean, Oregon's offensively has not been, like, amazing this year. I mean, they played a series of kind of lower scoring type games, where they've stood out the most is on defense. I mean, they've given up 142 points in nine games, which is like roughly what Arizona's given up in the last three games.
Yeah,
which prompted to change it, or maybe even I don't even know what the math is anymore. But it was what 133 heading into Oregon State that prompted the change. You know where I'm going here.
Yeah,
like the total points they've given up the entire season is about what Arizona's given up on average.
I think it's 196
over the last three or four. So that's the second fewest in the league, and the fewest is Utah. And not coincidentally, those are the top teams in the Pac-12. Both of them 8-1.
One thing I'm interested in seeing, if Grant Gunnell is in fact the starter, is who steps up at wide receiver. Seems like the guys that are kind of not all there, when Grant Gunnell's in the game, they automatically just emerge. Drew Dixon is one guy. When Grant Gunnell, that UCLA game, Drew Dixon came out of nowhere against Oregon State. One of the most impressive plays Grant Gunnell made was that ball to Jalen Johnson in the back of the end zone. I mean, he put that thing on a rope, and it was a dime. So you have a lot of these young wide receivers stepping up whenever Grant Gunnell is in the game, and maybe that's what you need. If you want to get ready for the future, why not throw Grant Gunnell in, and why not give some of these young wide receivers a chance to win a game on the road?
The only wide receiver who won't be back next year definitively is Cedric Peterson, correct?
Yeah.
He's the only senior in that entire group. So even a guy like Brian Castile, who's a redshirt sophomore, he's got two more years left. Tavian Cunningham's got another year. Jamari Joyner's just getting started.
He's stellar.
He looks like, I was talking to, as I said earlier, guys who look like dudes, he looks like a dude. Jalen Johnson looks like he could be someone like that when you look at the size and speed. Booby Curry, I think, is someone who's coming on. One more interesting note from the press conference today before we move on to the Pac-12 is He said that there were some guys who were going to play here down the stretch who they've sort of determined, okay, you know, there's three games left, maybe four. You haven't played yet. You can play the rest of the way without burning your red shirt. Any names come to mind for you guys? The first one I thought of was Eddie Siamau, who is – they moved from linebacker to, I guess, defensive end or stud, and they need pass rush.
Yeah.
You know? And I heard – we heard really good things about him in the preseason, and then, you know, I think he's made one appearance in a game, maybe against NAU. So, I don't know. Any others in that kind of, like – I know he talked about Jordan Morgan, too.
Yeah.
He said he's going to play the rest of the way.
Part, yeah.
Are you talking specifically on the defensive
freshman,
side of the ball?
Just or freshman, just freshman in general.
We always heard good things about Darion Clark at the linebacker spot.
Yeah.
The guy out of Dallas, Texas. He's only played in a couple of games.
Played in several, but pretty much only on special teams.
Special teams.
So you wonder, is maybe he going to be worked into a rotation at linebacker? I don't know. It's one of those guys, too. You got to... The benefit of this rule or the way that they've decided to play these guys is you get a look at them, you know, sort of see how ready they are. They may have determined that a guy like Eddie Siamau wasn't quite ready, but maybe he is now, and you could give him a shot. I mean, why not?
Absolutely.
You really have nothing to lose. I know they're trying to qualify for the postseason, but, you know, the odds are stacked against them. And as I said, you're on two tracks here. Mm-hmm. You're trying to win now, and you're trying to see what the future looks like.
Yeah, find out where you're going to put these guys next year. Where do they the freshmen now fit in for the going
Absolutely.
Forward?
Absolutely.
Not that we know what the defense is going to look like in the future, but it's some idea. Yeah.
So let's take a look back at this week's Pac-12 slate. Washington – Oregon State, Friday night matchup. Oregon State, the week after putting up 56 points down here in Tucson, they only score 7 points at home to the Washington Huskies.
Oh, you just knew that was going to happen.
And the 7 points came on a pick six. And they had 119 total yards. So, I mean, the biggest indictment of Arizona's defense to me came 6 days later.
Yeah.
Where this offense that they couldn't stop at all was completely stifled.
Hodgins looked like an NFL player out there against Arizona.
He might go on to be one, but I mean, he was.
Oh, I mean, but he looked like a stud.
Yeah, he was looking like a Julio Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think Washington, I know they've had problems this year, and they're only 6-4, and that's probably a disappointment. They're a well-coached defensive team. They might need to make a change as far as their offensive coordinator situation goes. Jacob Eason's maybe been a disappointment, but man, like, they're a well-schooled defensive squad.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that when they were here, and we saw that on Friday night.
Two more teams that Arizona has lost to this season, Stanford, they lost to Colorado, a team that Arizona beat, 16-13 out there in Boulder. But look at the bus, kind of getting back to their winning ways. It looked like Mel Tucker's first season at the helm was going to be a disaster, and it still could be. I mean, you look at the rest of the schedule, you know, they still have some games left, but what do you guys think about that Stanford-Colorado game?
They've got Washington and Utah,
yeah.
So that's a pretty tough slate. But to your credit, they
lost. They got Washington at home.
Washington home, yes.
That could be a
and
trap game.
And Utah. But, I mean, they lost five in a row, so you got to get off the stick at some point.
Yeah.
And they were able to claw one out against Stanford.
And even with a bad season, losing five in a row, look at what Mel Tucker's been able to do on the recruiting trail. You know, he got Antonio Alfano, former five-star guy who committed to Alabama, and is now going to be part of the Buffaloes next year. I mean, they're making a very strong case for Jalen Harris's brother, who plays up in Phoenix. I mean, even though Colorado's having a bad season, I mean, you got to give props to what Mel Tucker's doing. Lev, what do you think about Colorado?
I mean, you know, it's still pretty unlikely that they're going to qualify for the postseason with the schedule that they have remaining, and they're 4-6 at the moment. But I was talking earlier about identity, and, you know, Mel Tucker came in here, and he's like, you know what, we're going to play, like, SEC-style football. I don't think he's got the guys to do it on defense as of yet, but I like the mentality that he has, that he's brought on offense. Alex Fontenot, the running back, actually had a pretty good year has an outside chance to get to 1,000 yards for them. They're going to have a new quarterback next year. They probably won't have LaVisca Chenault next year because he's probably going to leave. But, you know, I think it's a decent foundation. Even if they end up at 4-8, I think there are at least some things you can point to, like the recruiting, to say that they're headed in the right direction. Yeah, Stanford, we're certainly not used to talking about them being 4-5 at this point in the season. It's been a rough year, for sure. And I feel like, you know, big picture-wise for the Cardinal, that it's just hard to maintain that level when you have to eliminate, what, 70% of the recruiting population before you even get started because of the academic requirements? Mm-hmm. People don't, I don't know, people don't give David Shaw or Jim Harbaugh enough credit for winning as much as they have for as long as they have.
Yeah, consistently.
It is really hard to do that when you're when you have those academic standards, as I know personally from having gone to Northwestern, which is back in the dumps this year.
Big flex.
So USC, ASU, that game was on ABC. I had a chance to actually sit down and watch that game. USC won 31-26. In his homecoming, Keaton Slovis, he played at Red Mountain, Desert Mountain.
One of the schools with
Shadow Mountain.
It's Red Mountain. That was the school that Kurt Warner coached at. He was his coach in high school.
Just say something with desert or mountain in it, and you're going to probably be right.
But Keaton Slovis, look what he did in the first quarter against ASU. Crazy. 297 passing yards and 4 touchdowns in just one quarter, the first quarter. That is...
Patrick Mahomes-esque.
Yes, yeah, right? Very much so. That was a USC passing record. Ridiculous performance by Keaton Slovis. And then
they barely had to hang on.
Yeah, I was going to say, ASU, Jaden Daniels was out, and they still were able to keep it close, and they almost got him at the end.
Yeah, Joe Yellen, he had a good game. I mean, they were down 28-7 after the first quarter, and you're sitting there going, well, okay, ABC game, ASU, what are you going to do? We're, you know, this could be a game where they could easily come and upset USC, but then, you know, they had a chance there at the end, made a comeback the rest of the way. They held USC to a field goal in the third quarter the rest of the way out, and then at the 40-yard line, with about 40 seconds left, Joey Yellen just had a pass that he was trying to throw over the middle, and it just got tipped by a lineman, and they caught, you know, it was intercepted, but it was... ASU was in there at the end, and
they
so for a true freshman quarterback, his first collegiate start, quite a rebound for Arizona State, and now you've got two capable quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost 3 in a row and have at Oregon State this upcoming week, home Oregon and then home Arizona, obviously, to close the season. They need to win one of those. They probably will.
So what you're saying is both Arizona and ASU could have 5 wins, and that last game is going to be whoever wins goes to a bowl game.
It's possible. I don't know. We'll get to our Pac-12 pick-ems later in the week.
I don't know.
ASU at Oregon State, it's a sneaky, interesting, and intriguing game. But I don't know, do you feel like any of the luster has come off of the Herm Edwards regime with this losing streak, or still on board? Still on the Herm bandwagon?
I'm on the train.
I'm still on the Herm train.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they...
They're recruiting well, for one thing, and you know you'd rather be 5-4 than 4-5. Hate to say it.
Are they recruiting well, or is Antonio Pierce recruiting well?
It's one and the same at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And it's easy to recruit to ASU, I think.
I mean, theoretically, it should be. It hasn't really been that way in the last decade or so. I mean, they've gotten some talent, but it's not far and away better than Arizona.
Do airports matter?
Arizona.
Do airports matter? Seriously, do airports matter? Does you get direct flights into Phoenix? Tucson, it's a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, but like the in and out factor at the Tucson airport?
True.
I mean, it's
that is true.
Tremendous. I would totally be using that as a recruiting tool. Like wait times at the security line, 5 minutes or less?
You could show up 25 minutes before your flight and
yes,
still
you can. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Good point, Lowe. Good point, Lowe.
100%.
All right, last game, Washington State, Cal. I guess the only way to describe this game is hashtag Pac-12 refs.
Oh,
am I right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. What a mess. So okay. So there was this call in, okay, there was this call in the game. But they called the wrong team. They called the wrong team. They gave the penalty to the wrong team.
They gave it to Washington State.
It should
State,
have
right?
been Washington State's ball at the Cal 35-yard line, down by 9 points after a kickoff return. Instead, they called the penalty on Washington State, moved the ball back to the 8. So basically, you're almost in field goal range to cut it to a one-score game. Instead, you're backed up to your own 8. Washington State ends up losing the game. It's an embarrassment. I mean, they suspended the head referee for a week because of this. But, I mean, we could do a whole series of podcasts on all the issues in the Pac-12, but nothing is, like, worse than when you have officiating problems. Because it just speaks to, like, issues of trust and integrity. I mean, remember the whole thing last year with Washington State and USC where that guy who wasn't supposed to be meddling in officiating was meddling in officiating. We were trying to think of his name the other day or earlier today, and I'll look it up here while we're talking. But I don't know. What do you guys think of this? Like, isn't it – it's bad news, right?
I thought the Pac-12 was focusing on
– Woody Dixon is the guy, yeah.
I thought this was a main point of emphasis for the Pac-12 is working on officiating be just better.
Yeah, just
– and it hasn't been.
You and I were at the press conference – in Las Vegas in March during the Pac-12 men's basketball tournament when Larry Scott came up and he's like, they were going through, you know, programs for the training for the referee and they were, you know, holding everybody to a higher standard now and you still get these issues that.
I don't know if you need a clean house, you need to bring in better officials. I don't know. It hasn't gotten better. Larry Scott keeps talking until he's blue in the face, saying, "Oh, we're getting better. You know, we're going to hold our refs to the highest standards." And this might be the worst officiating crew in all of college football.
They called it a mechanics error. I mean, a mechanics error.
A mechanics error is like if you like slice a golf shot. That's a mechanics error.
This is the equivalent of like that scene in Tin Cup where he's trying to hit the ball over the water and keeps hitting it in like 10 times in a row. I mean, this is a major fiasco. I mean, can you imagine how upset Mike Leach must be
now,
or Washington State fans? I mean, who knows what would have happened in the game, but to have something like that happen, which is a 57-yard difference in field position.
Yeah.
And to have it happen to Washington State for the second year in a row after the incident with US against USC last year, it's a bad look. It's a really bad look. And it's not something that the conference wants people to be talking about when they finally have a couple of teams that are in the playoff picture. You know, that's not where you want the narrative to be. But here we are.
Pac-12 rest, am I right?
Good for Cal.
Good for Cal.
Good for Cal. What, they're like one more win for bowl eligibility again?
Yeah.
We'll get there later in the week, but I have a feeling that Cal-USC game might be interesting.
All right.
Saturday night.
Can't wait for that.
Yeah.
We'll be doing podcasts all throughout the week. We'll still be doing an Arizona basketball podcast as well. Talking U of A hoops. Lots of coverage coming your way. Make sure you download the Wildcaster app. It's free and available on the App Store and Google Play. And make sure you subscribe to the Wildcast podcast on Apple Podcasts. For Lev, for Alec, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening.
We want to thank our sponsor, Great Western Bank, a proud supporter of the Wildcast podcast. At Great Western Bank, they focus on serving family-owned businesses and their overall financial needs. Whether your company needs increased working capital, equipment or SBA financing, purchasing or renovating a building or construction financing, Great Western Bank has the expertise to work through your specific financial needs. Visit the Great Western Bank branch on Campbell between Glen and Fort Lowell or call 520-325-1135 to talk to any of the business bankers about your specific needs. Member FDIC.